Well, hey, good morning again. My name is Nick. If we never had a chance to meet, I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Ben will be back next weekend. This week, he and his family are taking a much-needed break. And keep them in your prayers, though. They're suffering for Jesus. They're down in Cabo. And so, you know, they're really susceptible to things like sunburns and wrinkly fingers from being in the ocean too long. So make sure you remember them. He'll be back next weekend, though. This weekend, I hope you had a great Christmas. If you missed it, we had an incredible Christmas Eve here at Timberlake. It was the largest service ever. But way beyond that, you know, literally thousands of people were able to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. So it takes hundreds of volunteers to make a service like that happen. So if you helped out, just want to say thank you so much for doing that. Also, hope you had a great Christmas. We had a good one. My family and I, you know, we sort of did the normal Christmas thing. We opened gifts, went to brunch, all that. And then after that, I sort of set about to the normal post-Christmas routine. I don't know if you do this, but sort of returning gifts, things that didn't quite work out how you wanted. And hypothetically speaking, maybe you didn't get your wife the perfect gift. Not saying from personal experience, just hypothetically. But, you know, so I was doing that this week. And through a series of really very unfortunate events, I found myself at the mall on four separate occasions just this week. And normally I don't, you know, share Pastor Ben's level of disdain for the mall, but after four trips in 1 week, I was sure of two things. One, hell is a real place. Two, that there's evil on the earth. And so I was in luck as well because on two of those trips, I got to experience a little treat called Snowflake Lane. Anyone know? Anyone familiar with Snowflake Lane? Yeah, it was awesome. If you're not sure, if you've never been to it, literally there's thousands of people lining the streets. There's toy soldiers that are real life, and they're there, and they're dancing, and there's fairy princesses. There's even a big polar bear who leads a marching band. There's fake snow falling, and it's all set to sort of like this rock and roll Christmas music. It's sort of like a wintry medieval techno horror show. That's probably the best description that I can give to it. And so I was there, and I saw it twice, which was awesome. By the second time, I was like yelling at small children out the window, you know, the snow's fake, you know, like, Santa's your dad. No, just kidding. I didn't tell anybody that. But another thing I was doing, after four trips to the mall, I was sort of able to really assess, hey, what is it about the mall that I dislike so much? And since I had so much experience, I sort of thought, you know, really it's a long list, but really it's just so chaotic. I think that's what I would probably attribute most of my dislike about the mall too. It's stressful, it's chaotic, it's tough to find parking, it's tough, you gotta wait in line, no one's in a great mood. And another thing I was doing this week was sort of thinking about my New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you do this, I try to write down some goals and all that. And this particular year, I was actually having a hard time coming up with New Year's resolutions, which maybe is a sign of a bigger problem. Maybe I need to put, you know, self-awareness on my list of resolutions. But either way, I was having a hard time coming up with it. So what I did is I searched the internet. I figured, hey, if I can't come up with ideas on how to make myself better, I'm sure someone out there has some good advice for me. So I was looking through the internet, and I came across, not surprisingly, most of the lists regarding New Year's resolutions were sort of the same. You know, things like I want to eat better, I want to eat less of this type of food, more of this. I want to spend more time with my family, you know, be a more engaged husband or wife or mother or father. I want to exercise more. One list I thought was interesting, one list said, be a better pet owner, which I stopped and thought about for a sec. Now, because I have a dog, I thought, now here's a wild animal who I give food, shelter. Not only that, I give him my spot on the couch, you know. I don't know what else I could give to the dog. I let him, you know, choose a channel with his paw every once in a while. And on all the lists, though, I thought, there was one thing that I thought was particularly interesting, really a recurring thing on a lot of these New Year's resolution lists, was the idea of being less stressed. That was a big thing, that this year, in 2013, I want to be less stressed out than I was in 2012. And I'm sure you've already discovered this, that when it comes to stress in our life, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. There's a lot of different things that stress us out in different ways, and we all respond to that differently. But what I want to do with the rest of our time here this morning is focus in really on four areas of pressure and how I think we can navigate them in the coming year. Now, just to let you know, this morning the message is super practical. Maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You haven't made a decision to cross that line of faith. Here's my hope for you, though, is that from the Bible, we'll really take just some practical advice that you can apply to your life, even if you don't believe in Jesus, and you'd say, hey, this is going to be helpful for me. And so if you take your outline out of your program, we're going to start there at the top, and we'll go through these four kinds of pressure pretty quickly. The first kind is this, is relational. This is the kind of pressure that comes from relationships with those around us, even close to us. Kind of the pressure that comes from that. The second one is physical pressure. We'll talk more about this in a bit, but this is really more related to our pace and kind of the pressure that creates on our body physically. The third one is emotional. And emotional pressure is a little bit unique in that when it comes to emotional pressure, oftentimes it comes from areas that are outside of our control and even outside of our personal experiences. And these things cause us emotional pressure. And the last one is spiritual. Now, the last one's interesting. You know, again, I realize you might be here and maybe you're visiting from out of town and you sort of felt obligated to go to church with a relative. We're really glad you're here. That's okay. And you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. But when I was in Bible college, in one of my classes, one of my professors said something super interesting that I never really thought about before, but totally made sense, is that theology, really the study of God and words about God, is really one of, if not the only discipline where everybody brings their own ideas in, and beyond fundamental beliefs, it's really difficult to say, well, your beliefs are incorrect when it comes to thoughts and words about God, because beyond the fundamental truths of the Christian faith, what we bring into theology is our own experience. And so my guess is wherever you're at in your spiritual life here this weekend, even if you'd say, I don't know if I'm at a place where I believe in God and acknowledge God, my guess is that there are spiritual hopes that you have. You know, maybe you're here and really, you really honestly, this past year, you feel like God's disappointed you. You know, you're here and you feel like this past year, you really gave this whole faith thing a shot. You really decided you were going to try it out, and it didn't work out quite how you thought it would. Maybe you're here and this past year brought up a lot of questions. Things, maybe there was a transition in your life or a relationship dissolved, and things that you were once really, really sure about when it comes to your faith, you're less sure about now. You know, maybe you're here, and on December 21st, you were banking on the fact that the Mayans were right. And spiritually, you're really disappointed. You know, you racked up a lot of credit card debt, and you were counting on not paying it off. We can't help you. But I think when it comes to navigating different kinds of pressure, there's a story in the Bible that I think is super helpful, and it's in the book of 1 Kings. And it's from the life of a very important Old Testament figure. His name's Elijah. And let me just set the stage a little bit with what's going on. This is a point in Israel's history as a nation where they kind of go through this recurring cycle where they turn their back on God and then turn back towards him and turn their back. And this is at a point in Israel's history where they've turned their back on God. And they're worshiping these false gods. The Bible describes them as things called Baals. And they're worshiping these false gods. And Elijah, who's a prophet, he says, hey, let's have a competition. Let's see who the real God is. And it's this amazing thing, really one of, if not the crowning moment in Elijah's career, in his ministry, in his life. And he says, we're going to have this competition. God shows up in a real way. And it's this amazing thing. And Elijah's flying high. But here's what happens next. That's where we pick up the story. You can follow along in your outline or on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel's the queen, sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. Aren't you glad you came to church for some spiritual encouragement this morning? Yeah, it's sort of a depressing story in the Bible. But what I think you find in Elijah's life is something that we all go through, that it seems like everything is going really well. You know, maybe this year, things are going great. Things are going great at work. Things are even going great in your family, in your relationships. Everything seems like it's wonderful, but you feel this pressure. You know, you feel this mounting pressure, and it feels like, sort of like in Elijah's story, it feels like you want to give up, and you're not sure why. And so what I want to do is just kind of look at when it comes to New Year's resolutions, you know, beyond making better nutritional choices and exercising more and being a better pet owner, what are some things we can take from Elijah's life, from this story, when it comes to relieving pressure and stress in our lives? So if you're following along, navigating pressure, number one, relationally, is establish boundaries and identify drainers. You know, it's sort of interesting that especially around the holidays, oftentimes we find our relational quotient is full. You know, we're surrounded by friends and family, people we love, and when we have deep and meaningful relationships, and everything's going well in that regard. But it's interesting that oftentimes the more we're relationally connected, the more pressure that comes with that, because in close proximity with other people, there's expectations that come with that, and there's this relational pressure that builds and builds. I think, you know, there's sort of this myth that as long as you have meaningful relationships in your life, significant relationships in your life, that everything will be okay. And I do want to pause there for a minute. Now, this is a super important thing when it comes to God's best plan for our lives. This is a really important thing to do, is surround yourself with other people. In fact, shameless plug, we have a growth group season kicking off in a few weeks. You know, I would really encourage you, if you've never done that, to take a spiritual step in that direction. You know, to say, hey, I'm going to take a step of faith here. I'm going to get involved in a growth group. I'm going to surround myself with some people who I know will challenge me, who care about me, who love me, and do all those things. But even though it's a really good thing, what can often happen is, from our relationships, this pressure builds. You know, I have this conversation in working with high school students sort of often. You know, they'll say, Nick, I just feel like so stressed out. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, what's going on? I just feel like I have just too many friends. You know, it's like, yeah, that's hard. You know, that's a bummer. But what happens is like, no, I feel like I have, you know, I have these friends over here, and I feel like I'm trying to make them happy, and I have this relationship, I'm trying to work on that. I have sports friends and school friends and church friends. I just feel like I have, you know, all these relationships. I'm trying to make everybody happy, and they want me to be different people. And this pressure mounts and mounts and mounts, and it just can, it can begin to overwhelm us. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And this verse indicates that it's so important when it comes to relational pressure to not only choose the right people to surround yourself with, but even in meaningful and important relationships, to establish what the boundaries of that are going to be. Because here's the truth, is in relationships, a lot of that pressure comes from the fact that you're always going to disappoint someone. That it's inevitable, you will, and I have, disappoint a lot of people along the way relationally. And there's no way to avoid that. Here's also what the Bible says in Proverbs 26:4. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. And you know what the Bible does? It's interesting. When it comes to relieving pressure in this area, here's what the Bible says, is it's okay. In fact, it's really important to create space with people who are drainers in your life. Let me give you an example of what a drainer is. If someone's calling and you go to answer your phone and you look down at the phone, and instead of your first response is to answer it, your first response is to push one of the small buttons on the side and ignore their calls. You know, friends don't side button friends. That's the truth. And let me give you an example. When Pastor Ben calls, my first instinct, no, just kidding. But what's interesting is, here's what the Bible says, is that people who are draining to you, people who really suck the life out of you, it's okay to redefine the relationship. You know, maybe for you, that's going to be something super important, really practically just in 2013, is that this next year you're going to say, hey, I'm going to have to verbalize how a relationship is going to need to be redefined. I'm going to need to say, you know, this is how it's worked till now, but this really can't go on like this. You know, it's sort of draining, and I need to create some space. Maybe even in 2013, it'll be really important for you to step away from some relationships. And you know what the Bible says is that's okay. In fact, that's a wise thing to do. Well, number two, physical, and that's recognize your limits and create opportunities to rest. When I turned 16, the very first car I drove wasn't my car, it was my dad's car. He had a 1964 Chevrolet Impala. Some of you may remember when those came out, which is awesome. Some of you just remember references to them from your choice of music in the early 90s, and that's also awesome. But when I was you know, turned 16, I didn't know anything about cars, but the car had a little tachometer on the inside of the steering wheel. And one of my goals, by the way, Dad, if you happen to be listening online, now's a good time to pause it or have some antacids nearby. And so one of my big goals was to keep the tachometer in the red area. And just, I don't know if it's called redlining. I don't know if you knew that. I discovered it. I discovered the car's acceleration capabilities. But what I discovered, and I won't tell you how, is that the car can't sustain redlining over long periods of time. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And that if you push the car that hard, now it's interesting, the car is designed to, there's even a purpose for the car being able to redline like that, and the car's designed to do that, but if you try to push the car that way over a long period of time, what'll happen is the car will not work anymore. And it's interesting, you know, I think we know that's true, about a car, but when it comes to our lives physically, we don't want to acknowledge it. It's almost like we have these unrealistic expectations and pressures that when it comes to my life physically, you know, I'm different. I'm able to push myself hard and hard. And listen, there's a reason, just like with the car, there's a season in your life where that may be necessary. But if you try to sustain that physical pace over long periods of time, what will happen is things will begin to break down. By the way, here's just some indications you might be experiencing physical pressure in a way that's not realistic. Loss of sleep is one. It's not normal to not sleep. You know, I know sometimes this can almost be like, you know, sort of a status thing. Hey, I only slept 4 hours last night. Like, that is not good. You know, God has created us to sleep. Another one's anxiety, is that you're worried all the time about everything. Another one's exhaustion. You know, you feel like when you get home, you're completely exhausted. You disconnect from everything else. And you might be thinking, you know, Nick, you're young, you're just sort of at a different life stage. You don't understand the realistic physical pace that's needed for my family, for where I'm at in my career. And truth is, you know what, you're right. You know, I don't. I don't have any idea what that's like. But in Elijah's life, from that story, it's interesting. This next verse we're about to read comes right after this whole thing where he says, God, you know, just kill me. I want to give up. Here's what it says. He, that's Elijah, looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And it's interesting, when Elijah is drained, when Elijah's at his lowest, when he's saying, God, I just want to give up, this pressure's too much, God could have responded in a number of different ways. God could have said, hey, do this or do that. But do you know what God says to Elijah? He says, hey, have a snack, take a nap, you're going to be okay. You know? And in our lives physically as well, you know, here's the thing. Is it so important not just to know that, but to say, God, this year in 2013, I'm gonna create those opportunities to rest. That it's not realistic to maintain this physical pace over extended periods of time. Well, the next one's number three, and that's emotional pressure, and that's this. Understand that circumstances will be out of your control, but we own our response. And I think when it comes to navigating emotional pressure, this one is a little bit more interesting and really a little bit more challenging, because oftentimes the pressure we experience emotionally comes from areas that are definitely outside of our control, maybe even outside of our personal experience. Things like tragedies in our communities, tragedies in our nation, tragedies in our world, and it can create sort of this emotional pressure that builds and builds, and we're not sure why, but we feel the stress of these things. Here's what Jesus says in John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And you know, Jesus in this verse, he doesn't indicate that we'll never have to deal with emotional pressure. In fact, quite the opposite. You know, kind of implicit in the verse is the idea that there will be times in our lives, in our worlds, where we experience emotional pressure, where we experience things that will be unsettling and will be a cause to not experience peace. But what Jesus says isn't that I'm going to provide, you know, all the answers you need. In fact, sometimes that doesn't happen. But what Jesus does say is, I'll give you peace even when it's irrational. You know, Jesus says, I'm going to offer you peace sort of even when it doesn't make sense. You know, one of, if not the most tragic events of this past year happened just a few weeks ago in Newtown, Connecticut. And I thought Pastor Ben did such an amazing job of just kind of saying, addressing that and saying, here's why something like that happens, even though there are never all the answers, you know, that there's evil in the world and all that. And but in some of the responses to it, I was, you know, kind of following the story. And regardless of your political views, and by no means is it a political statement, but in a response address, you may remember, President Obama quoted Psalm 147. Here's what it says. It says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And, you know, when it comes to navigating emotional pressure in our lives, sometimes that's all we need God to do. Sometimes that's the only thing God can offer us, as we say, God, this pressure just is mounting, and I have, you know, a lot of emotional hurts, and I don't even have control over them, and I feel like there are things I just can't control and I can't navigate. Here's what Jesus says is that, you know, I'm here to offer you peace, that in Jesus Christ, we have hope. So, and that really leads to number four, and the fourth type of pressure navigated is spiritual, and that's this. Lean into the security only found in Jesus Christ. You know, there are so many great things that I've discovered about following Jesus. If you're here and you haven't made that decision to cross that line of faith, man, I would really encourage you to do that. You know, there's the idea that in Jesus you have fresh starts, you have forgiveness, you have second chances. Even there's practical advice from the Bible on how to navigate life, how to make sense of your relationships and all these things. But I think one of my favorite things about following Jesus is there's a certain level of security that comes in that. That where you're able to say, God, you know, there's a lot of things I have questions about, and there's a lot of things I don't have control of, and there's a lot of times spiritually where I can feel disappointed, but I'm going to lean into the security that you offer. There's a verse in the Bible, Jesus is speaking, it's in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. You may have heard it before. Here's what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You know, I love that verse, not just because it's really easy for me to understand at face value, but because I can relate to what's going on. You know, as I read that verse, I'm able to say, yeah, you know, I know what that's like I'm sure many of us do, to be weary and to carry heavy burdens. By the way, you know, something we always say at Timberlake is that you can't compare pain to pain. You know, that the pain you experienced in your life is real, and even though it may not seem as significant as someone else's pain, and you may feel like it's not valid, it totally is, because pain is based on our experience. And in the same way, pressure is the same way. That the pressure and the stress that you feel, maybe that you carried through 2012, is real. And maybe you're here and you're a student, a high school or a college student, and you say, well, I don't feel like I'm experiencing real pressure. No, you are, because pressure is related to your personal experience. So I think for all of us, when we hear that verse where Jesus says, if you're weary and you carry heavy burdens, you know, I think Jesus is really, in a way, he's talking to all of us. You know, he's saying that if this past year you felt like there's been times spiritually where this pressure has mounted, where you've wanted to give up, where you'd say, God, I have more questions than answers, and this is really hard, and I don't understand what's happening, Jesus says, come to me. A few years ago, in our family, I was in college at the time, and I won't go into a ton of details, but we had some things happen that really affected my faith, you know, to the core. And everything that I, you know, thought made so much sense at one time didn't seem to make as much sense anymore. And I had a bunch of questions, and I thought, you know, God, what's going on here? And I was doing this, I was searching the Bible for answers, and I was doing this thing where I'd open it and point to a verse. I don't know if you do that. Usually it doesn't work. But I was doing that, and I was sort of just saying, God, you know, what's going on with all this? And I came to this verse. It's in your outline. I have my Bible up here. It's in Psalm 116, 7 through 9. Let me read it for you. It says this, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And, you know, I know that for me, when it comes to spiritual pressure in my life that we've all experienced, we're weary and we're confused and this stress and pressure mounts, at least for me, there was such a security in saying, God, I know that you're good. You know, God, I don't know why this is going on. I don't know, you know, why these things have happened. I don't know, fill in the blank, but I know that you're good and I know that you love me. And for all of us this morning, man, I hope that spiritually you know that. That not only in Jesus do you have a fresh start, do you have a second chance, but there's a security that you fall back on how good God is. So there's a question on the bottom of your outline. It's a key question really for 2013. It's this, is where can I relieve pressure in one of these areas in 2013? Maybe for you, it's an area of just relationally. You know, relationally, you feel like you have all these relationships to navigate and manage, and it feels overwhelming. Maybe there'd be some you need to step back from or create space in. Maybe it's a physical pace that you don't feel you can maintain. And here's the truth is God hasn't called you to maintain it. God's saying, this year, look for opportunities to rest. Maybe it's emotional pressure, things that are outside of your control that you'd say mount, and it feels like you have a lot of questions, and maybe you just need God's peace. Or maybe it's spiritually. And here this morning, you know, you'd say, God, I just need to be reminded of your security, of your goodness, and that I can trust you. Will you pray with me? Father, thanks so much, God, that you're a God who gives us practical advice on how to navigate even the stresses of our life. God, that even though it may not seem in our mind significant to you, that you care about us, that you love us, that you care even about these things. And Lord, I would ask, God, for all of us in here as we deal with stress, realistically we all do, as like that verse says, God, we carry these heavy loads and burdens, and oftentimes they can overwhelm. Lord, thanks for the reminder from your word that in you, God, you give us rest. God, and in you, you give us peace, and you give us maybe not necessarily answers and clarity and understanding, but God, what you do give us, God, we want that from you. Maybe you're here this morning, and you'd say, Nick, I don't know God the way you talk about. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ the way that you're describing. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. And here's what you're doing, is you're just saying yes to Jesus in the simplest sense. You know, you're saying, God, I want you to be the Lord and the leader of my life. I acknowledge that you're real. I acknowledge that you love me. Maybe it's a decision you've never made before, or maybe it's a decision you made 100 times. But this morning, what you'd want to do is to say, God, I want to invite you into even these areas of my life, my relationships, my physical pace, my emotional stress, and my spiritual questions. So here's what we're going to do with everyone's eyes closed, even those up on stage, to give you a sense of privacy in a public place. We just want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And here's how we do that here at Timberlake. I'm going to look over to my left and your right. And if you would do this, no one looking around, just let your eyes meet mine. Just kind of look up at me. You'd say, yeah, I want to say yes to Jesus this morning. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Anyone else? Yeah, it's a good choice. It's a great choice. And over on my right and your left, if you'd say, yeah, I just want to say yes to God. Yeah. It's a good choice, yeah. And then pray this prayer after me, not out loud, just kind of in your heart and mind. Say, God, I want you to be the leader and the Lord of my life. I'm sorry for everything I've done that separates me from you. I invite you in to take control. And God, from your word, God, I want to understand best how to navigate this pressure. And Father, that'd be my prayer for really for all of us this next year, God, that we lean into you and your security and your hope and your peace, God, and we'd live the life you have planned for us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.